In the ancient world, Hansen's disease, leprosy, was worse than a death sentence. It was a sentence of living death. That is why what the law prescribes in this morning's first lesson was essential to protect the community. When one contracted leprosy or any disease of the skin that might indicate leprosy, that person had to be excluded from the community. This sounds cruel until we understand it simply the oldest law of quarantine. And that's what's at work here. The task for designating someone for this exile fell to the priest. Remember, there is as yet no medical corps, so the priests fulfill both a medical and a spiritual function, and the two become conflated. Having the disease which makes one unclean also necessarily excludes one from divine worship, from joining the community for prayer and the offering of sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. And so, as long as the sore is on him, he must declare himself unclean and make his abode outside the camp. It is, if you will, a form of excommunication. Outside the community. More than that, precisely because the disease was so feared, it was not possible for anyone healthy to have physical contact with a leper. To touch a leper was to render one's self unclean. It's essential that we understand that in order to see the audacity of what the Lord Jesus does in this morning's gospel. We're at the end of chapter 1 of St. Mark. Jesus has begun his public ministry, preaching the kingdom and confirming his divine authority with deeds of power. A leper came to Jesus, Mark tells us, and kneeling down begged him. What the leper does is audacious. This man is commanded by the law of Moses to remain apart and to shout to anyone who comes in his vicinity, unclean, so that they may be warned to give him a wide berth. And yet he comes up right to the feet of Jesus and kneels in humility. If you wish, you can make me clean. Mark doesn't tell us how this man has heard that Jesus can cure him. Obviously, however, someone has told him. Word has reached this man about the preaching and the deeds of power of the rabbi from Nazareth. Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Under normal conditions, this would have rendered the Lord unclean. But these are not normal conditions. The rabbi from Nazareth is, in fact, the lawgiver who gave to Moses what he passed on to Israel. He is one greater than Moses. Nothing we do or say or think can render him unclean. And anything unclean we do or say or think, we can be cleansed from by him. He stretched out his hand and touched the leper and said, I do will it, be made clean. The leprosy left him immediately, and he was clean. Once again, we see the absolute mastery of the Lord Jesus over nature and supernature. Now here's the point for us. All sin, everything contrary to God's will, for the created order, renders us unclean. It is Jesus Christ and Christ alone who can restore us to our place in the community of God's family, the church. It is Christ and Christ alone who can cleanse us of the stain of sin and restore in us the beauty of holiness, which is our destiny. As we saw last week, The deeds of power, the miracles, the signs of the Lord Jesus have gone over into the sacraments of the church. And this capacity to make clean is exercised in four of the seven sacraments. Obviously, the first is baptism, the gateway to the life of grace. But following baptism, three other sacraments also forgive sins: anointing of the sick, the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, and above all, the Eucharist itself, the broken body and outpoured blood of the Lord Jesus, which is for the forgiveness of sins. Now, for Catholics, after baptism, the only way ordinarily to be cleansed and restored to fellowship with God and the church after mortal sin is going to confession. But even in this instance, the word to underline is ordinary, the only ordinary way. The sacraments are the ordinary means of grace, but not the only means of grace. The important thing is this: God desires that all men be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. And in the sacraments, he gives us the cleansing of grace, the forgiveness of sins, the restoration of our fellowship, and nourishment unto everlasting life. But imagine this. Imagine that this leper, and you can picture someone who's had the disease for years, disfigured in a horrible way by the flesh rotting, a nose missing, fingers dead or gone. It's hellish. Imagine that this leper, rather than coming to the feet of Jesus and kneeling in humility, had said, "I'm fine, I'm healthy. There's nothing wrong with me." That's what we do when we refuse to call our sins, sins. Even Jesus cannot cleanse us if we will not be cleansed, if we will not acknowledge our wrongdoing. What must happen first is our desire to be cleansed. That in itself is a gift of grace. Theologians call it prevenient grace. It's the grace that comes before the grace of forgiveness. Like this leper who heard about Jesus from someone else, perhaps it will be another person who convinces us that there is something disordered in my life. But whether it comes from the word of a friend or the torture of my own heart, only when I am prepared to call sin, sin, can Jesus cleanse me. And if I ask for it in humility and faith, then there is absolute confidence that in fact, I will be cleansed. If you wish it, you can make me clean. Of course he wishes it. That is why he came, to preach the good news of the kingdom, to suffer, to die, and to rise again, that we may be all made clean. Finally, notice that once the man is cleansed, he has to go tell everyone. He wants everyone to know, not only that he's been healed and made whole and restored to the fellowship of the community, but that this all came from the Lord Jesus. That's the primary motive and means of evangelization, the spreading of the good news. Once I understand that I have been forgiven and reconciled to God and to all others and to my own true self, then what should flow from that, what must flow from that immediately, as Mark says, and spontaneously and joyfully, is my desire to share that good news and bring others to the Lord Jesus. On Wednesday, we begin our annual pre-baptismal retreat, 40 days of fasting, prayer, and works of mercy that will culminate on Easter Sunday when we all renew the promises of our baptism, when we all recall the day on which we were cleansed from sin and born again by water and the Holy Spirit. Let us use these coming 40 days not only for our own deeper conversion, but for a better, more complete, enthusiastic, and joyful sharing of the gospel with others. And all of it begins with this, our willingness to call our sins, sins, and to fall at the feet of the Lord Jesus with the prayer of the leper on our lips. Lord, if you wish, you can make me clean.